Hello, this is Kurt Frankel with Leading LDS. I have a pleasure today to be here with Jeff. And Jeff, how do you say your last name, just so I don't mess it up?
It's okay. It's pronounced Stewart.
Stewart, okay. Jeff Stewart. And Jeff is a counselor down in the St. George area with helping people with relationship counseling and also with an emphasis on those that struggle with pornography addiction. And Jeff, why don't you just give us a brief background on your education and your experience, and that'll be informative.
Okay, you bet. I did a bachelor's degree at BYU in mass communications, and then I ended up doing a master's degree in marriage and family therapy at Auburn University. And I've been practicing as a marriage and family therapist now for about 13 years, and I've been here in St. George for about almost 7 years in private practice, and I'm the founding director of LifeStar of St. George, Utah, which is a treatment program for couples and individuals that are dealing with pornography addiction. We work with both the individuals that struggle and their afflicted partners and, of course, the marriage. So that's what I do down here is run a private practice and run this program and then write and speak and those kinds of things. So
great. Now, you'll be presenting and speaking here in a few weeks in May at the UCAP conference, which is the Utah Coalition Against Pornography. Maybe give us some background on what that is and how LifeStar fits into that.
Yeah, so the Utah Coalition Against Pornography has been around for probably about 8 years and 9 years, and basically it's the largest anti-pornography coalition in the nation. There are other coalitions in other states, but this is the biggest one. They have an annual conference that draws usually around 1,000 people every year to Salt Lake, and they feature presenters, experts in treating pornography addiction, policymakers, and other people that are working to help people on all different angles, not only those that struggle, but also preventing and protecting families. We've got internet developers and other kinds of folks. It draws in a lot of different companies, both for-profit and non-profit groups. LifeStar is a treatment program, and so we have an interest in helping those afflicted by this issue. And so we get invited often to speak at the Utah Coalition as experts in treating this issue and helping educate people on what they can do to protect their kids and also their marriages. And then a few of the LifeStar therapists have served and currently serve as board members of the Utah Coalition as well. So we're involved, both as presenters and also as board members.
Great. Yeah, and I attended the UCAP conference last year. I was really impressed by the resources and they have all sorts of different companies there. From people running internet filters to those in your industry with counseling and so forth. But I'll put more links on that. But really want to focus on your expertise and kind of your experience. And from the perspective I'm coming from is a perspective I think a lot of LDS bishops come from, also just clergy leaders in general. When they're faced with somebody who's struggling with pornography addiction, they come into their office and then they're looking for counseling and direction, and without that professional basis that you have, sometimes we may make some mistakes, and in no way do I want to diminish the sacred mantle of those callings that where inspiration comes, but nonetheless we're always looking, as me specifically, as a bishop, when somebody comes in to with struggling with pornography addiction, I want to make sure I tell them right things, and that I don't say things that'll discourage them or be approaching them the right way. So, what are some general counsel that you give to those clergy leaders or religious leaders that are helping people with an addiction like pornography?
Well, that's a great question. I think that revelation comes from lots of places. I don't think that it only comes from just the whisperings of the Spirit. I think there's been a lot of revealed truth, both from the church channels and also from other people in the field that are doing great work that aligns itself with gospel principles. And so the bishops that I think have been the most effective in helping the clients that I work with are those that are educating themselves both from church resources and also reading what others are writing about this and matching it up with our values. And so Those are the ones I think do the most good. They recognize the scope of what they can help with, and they're willing to collaborate and work with both 12-step groups, treatment professionals, family members, and others to kind of form a team around this individual and not just encourage the person to act alone in this. Nobody gets better from this alone. So, I believe that inspiration comes from lots of sources. And so what I usually tell bishops when they sit down with somebody that struggles with them, the thing that I want them to offer that person first is recognition of how courageous they're being for even coming forward and talking about this. I think a bishop can do a lot to create a lot of confidence and security in that person, knowing that they're doing the right thing by stepping out into the light. I use the example of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden that, the way God responded to them when they came out of hiding was very different than Satan's response, which was to hide. And so we don't want to send them back into hiding by shaming them or, criticizing them or judging them. Clearly a bishop has to make some judgments, but there's a difference between beating them up and making them feel worse for coming in as opposed to embracing them and letting them know that they're in the right place, that they're doing the right thing, and that they're brave and they're courageous and so they need to be commended for that. I think if a bishop can emphasize that, that will neutralize so much of that shame that they feel just by being involved in this at all. And that goes both for the men that struggle with this that come in, as well as for the wives who come in and want to talk about their struggles with the impact on their lives. They also feel a lot of shame, and it's good for them to be commended for being willing to face this and talk about it.
So talk a little bit further about that scope. Sometimes, there's the one end where you don't want to shame them or send them back into hiding. The other end where you don't want them to, you don't want to condone the action or say, well, this is just normal and, you'll get over it type of thing. When is it a good time to start bringing in the additional help with the counselors and, in the 12-step program and so forth? Is that something you do right away, or is it maybe not for every case?
I think there's probably a few exceptions out there where, maybe if they've just barely been exposed to it and they, they come in after, like for an adolescent, they come in just, they stumbled into it or they looked at it a couple times or whatever and they get caught or they own up to it. In those cases, I don't know that you need to, call out the National Guard or anything and make some big issue about it. But I do think that if it's something that they've tried to quit more than a few times, and they can't quit and they keep the consequences keep mounting up, then they definitely need to do something different. Most, the analogy we use a lot is a tractor stuck in the mud. I mean, if somebody gets a tractor stuck in the mud, they usually have to get out of the tractor and then go out and find somebody to help them assess the situation, find another vehicle or vehicles, get a big strong chain, get some stable ground, and get lots of people involved to pull this thing out instead of just sitting there trying to push harder on the gas. And a lot of guys will go in and meet with a church leader and they sort of agree together that they're just going to, he's just going to encourage him and say, hey, you're a good man. Just keep working hard. Keep praying. You'll be fine. Just more faith, brother, and those kinds of things. And not to diminish the role of faith or miracles or priesthood blessings, because all of those are part of this. But like with any addiction, we are not designed to do this alone, and we encourage people to reach out and get support. The church has a 12-step program for that reason. The church works closely with lots of qualified counselors and has a referral network for counselors that treat this issue. Education is critical, and working with the clergy. I mean, those are to me the four areas. If a guy is going to get better from this, he's got to be working with those four areas: clergy, education, 12-step, and counseling. And doing just one of those, in my experience, is not enough. They need to be doing a lot of different things. And so I think that if a guy has tried and tried and tried, and if the consequences are mounting up, he needs to do something different.
Right. And you mentioned the four areas, you know, one being the clergy. So when those other three are set, what does the bishops or the religious leaders' role come in that situation when they're seeing a counselor, going to this 12-step program and so forth? What role does the clergy play in that situation?
Well, first of all, I think they offer that person hope of repentance and forgiveness, redemption. They represent the Lord, they represent the church, and they give that person a way back. You know, they give them a way back into whatever if they've had church discipline or if they've had any sort of boundaries put up, and the bishop facilitates that. So meeting with them, you know, the bishop is certainly monitoring that, but even in a bigger way than that, I think that the bishop does a great service in helping affirm the worth and value of that individual, letting them know, teaching them the truth about their worth as a son or a daughter of God, and also just listening, letting the person teach the bishop and talk to the bishop about what they're learning. Have them talk about it. So many guys get focused on stopping the behavior that they forget that there's a whole repentance recovery process, lifestyle change. I mean, repentance in the Bible dictionary is about a fresh view of God and of oneself. And a bishop ought to be talking to a guy about this new fresh view. How does he see things differently? He should be a better dad, a better husband. He should be a better church member. He should be learning and growing in all these other areas, not just stopping a problematic behavior. And so to me, there's a lot for a bishop to talk about with a guy that's trying to recover.
Okay. Now let's talk about you mentioned the spouse's, you know, involvement in this process. Many times from my experience, I find that, you know, an individual's maybe caught, you know, looking at pornography, and that kind of starts the ball of saying, okay, now it's time to go see the bishop and get this taken care of. And so the person's kind of, the individual with the addiction's forced out into the light a little bit. But then the wife or the spouse doesn't necessarily want to come out in the light and discuss it. Is that, should a religious leader reach out to the spouse and encourage them to come in and talk? And what if that spouse just doesn't want to come in and talk about it?
You know, I find that most, I'm going to just generalize here, it's mostly men that struggle and the women that are the partners, so if it's okay, I'm just going to go with that for now. Most of the women that I've talked to are hoping that the bishop will want to talk to them about this. I've not run into too many that don't want to talk about it. Okay. If anything, it's usually the opposite. Usually the church leaders are so focused on helping the addict that they forget that the partner is afflicted by this, and what she needs to be able to talk about is the impact this has had on her and to be taken seriously. A lot of the times what happens is that the message gets communicated, well, you know, your husband's a good man and, you know, just forgive and you know, those kinds of things. What they don't realize is most of these women that have been betrayed by pornography addiction from their husbands have usually had secrets kept from them for years in many cases and have been lied to, and there's just a lot of unknowns that they're facing. And so many of these women meet a lot of the criteria for post-traumatic stress disorder. A lot of them are very traumatized, have flashbacks, nightmares. Their life as they understand it is flashing before their eyes. A lot of them are very distressed by this. And, you know, I've often told bishops to, you know, see these women as spiritual widows. You know, the way you would work with a widow who's lost a husband, these women, their hearts are just broken, pierced, as it says, with deep wounds. And like it says in, you know, Alma 39, where, you know, he's talking to his son, Alma the Younger is talking to his son about the harlot Isabel, and he says that she stole away the hearts of many. I mean, these women are living with men whose hearts have been stolen from them, and a man without a heart is scary for a woman to live with. And so these bishops can do so much to help give priesthood blessings, strengthen, counsel with, listen especially, offer support. I've had bishops call these women just throughout the week and check in, see how they're doing, just to be a good listener and just to know someone cares is so critical. And to not rush her to forgive, to not pressure her to make any big decisions, but just to be there and let her know from him that he cares. It's huge.
Great answer. And I know there's a lot of support groups for even wives struggling, you know, with a spouse that's betrayed them with pornography. Is that right?
Yes. The church does have 12-step groups for family members, and it helps them learn how to understand their own part, not in causing it, because they don't cause this, but understand their own part and how they can respond in healthier ways, and how can they can become part of the solution instead of part of the problem. And just for them to get their sanity back, because so many of them feel it's crazy, you know, and so this is a good place for them to connect with others and get grounded.
Great. And what further message would you have? I mean, is you've worked with individuals with bishops in conjunction with individuals. Anything that's helped you from a counselor standpoint that you've received from the bishop that's really made smooth the process and really helped the individual go through that process of healing?
Well, like I said earlier, I think that when an individual goes and meets with the bishop and the bishop's making regular contact, and by regular, you know, I'm talking a minimum once a month, sometimes twice a month, checking in, calling in, not minimizing it. I find that if a bishop can just recognize the scope of this issue and how much selfishness it creates in individuals and how it changes men's beliefs, it changes their spirituality, it changes, you know, it changes all these areas in their life, and it's not just a little bad habit they need to get over. So the minimizing, I think, is the biggest challenge that we all face, because it's such a common issue, and I would much rather see a church leader say, I don't really know exactly what you'll need to get better, so let me reach out for some support and let's get you the right kind of help, than just to be able to then instead of say something like, well, I think you're fine, without really understanding the scope of it. Bishops that ask good questions, that want to understand exactly, they're not afraid to look at this, they're not afraid to ask, well, how long has this been going on? When did it start? What kind of stuff are you involved in? Who else knows about it? How many times have you tried to stop? I mean, just really trying to understand the scope of this, and then being willing to work with counselors and get education, like I said, those areas, makes a huge difference. And SA Lifeline, I don't know if you've ever been on their website or not, but SA Lifeline has a free manual for church leaders you can download. I was part of helping to write that, and there were a lot of other people involved. But, yeah, if you just go to salifeline.org, they have a free manual PDF that you can download and has helps and resources for leaders and parents on how to work with this issue, what kinds of questions to ask, lots of lessons for family home evenings. And, you know, those kinds of resources to me are just, they're a gold mine. And the church has a new website out, too, for pornography addiction. They just released over conference weekend. I believe it's overcomingpornography.org. And that has some articles and resources on it as well for church leaders. And so there's more and more resources being made available all the time. And if a church leader really wants to be helpful, then, like I said, they'll seek inspiration from all these different sources, because there's a lot we do know about this. As much as we don't know about it, there's a lot we do know. And there's no need to wing it anymore.
Right. Yeah, and the resources are crucial, and it's nothing that you can just hope that the magical phrase will come to your mind that you can say to help this individual along, but there's so many resources, which goes back to the Utah Coalition Against Pornography conference that's next month. And maybe explain in more detail what you'll be presenting on. Will you have a workshop or a specific class you'll be doing that people can come and learn more about what your counseling and so forth?
Yeah, so I've been invited to co-present with Jeff Ford, who works with me here in St. George. And we are going to present a workshop focused specifically on the impact on women, on partners. It's called More Than Just Betrayal. And we're going to be talking about how to help the women heal in all the other areas that it affects their lives and their marriages beyond just the obvious betrayal, sexual betrayal. Because this affects them as mothers, as parents, as friends. I mean, it just it has such a wide reach, and so we're wanting to educate those who attend so they can know better how to minister and how to help the women, because they often get overlooked pretty easily. And so it'll be about a 45 minute workshop. The conference runs from 9 in the morning till about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It's a short conference, just a half a day. So, and if you're going to attend, it's only $10 to register online at utahcoalition.org, or $15 at the door. And so the entry fee is very reasonable, and there'll be speakers from all over the nation that come in, and experts and presenters that will be coming to speak there. So it's a great way to spend a Saturday morning. And it's something that the First Presidency of the Church sends a letter out to all the wards and stakes in Idaho and Utah, to around the area, to encourage them to attend. When I was in St. George, we had letters over the pulpit down here for people, them encouraging people to drive up to it. So it's a big deal.
This isn't just a conference for leaders, but also those struggling with addiction should also be encouraged to attend. Is that right?
Correct. It's for the public, and so anybody who has an interest in this will benefit. So we have parents that come who haven't necessarily been affected by this, but want to get educated, that better arm their kids, family members of those who struggle, church leaders. It's non-denominational. The president of the board is a Presbyterian, and she works in conjunction with the LDS Church, and so it's a multidisciplinary, multi-faith effort, and this conference represents a wide reach of people, and so it's definitely open to the public. We have all kinds of folks coming through the doors.
Cool. Well, this has been helpful. I know you've got a busy schedule, so I'll get back to that. But I'll put all these links under this video to review. But that conference is May 15th.
I believe it's May 18th.
18th. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm reading the wrong date. Yeah, May 18th.
Okay.
That says, I guess, the online registration will be available until May 15th. But then May 18th will be the conference, and it really is a time to bring a good notepad, invite those that may be struggling or family or whomever has that interest, like Jeff said. So thank you for your time, Jeff, and I'll post your website under this video, along with I know you've been involved with different books and trainings, audio trainings and so forth that I've listened to some actually and really benefited from. So I appreciate your time, Jeff.
Anytime. Thank you.